Started. All right. This is a podcast about how to lie about the statistics. It's going great so far.
Yep.
My name is Alejandro.
And my name is Wilson.
Carolyn.
Okay, so let's talk about chapter one.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about it?
I think that it was very interesting.
Why is that?
Because it is something that I'm interested in, which is the statistics stuff.
Okay.
Care to elaborate, Alejandro?
I mean, you know, the introduction was very good, you know, and it kind of got me settled to what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it talked about how statistics is very hard to make up.
Mm-hmm.
So that really brought out a point, since for Mr. Baird, we were talking about Enron. And how they're pretty much lied about their statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of intrigued me because even though they said statistics cannot be lied about, such a big company and pulling such a big Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
And so I guess like that's the 1% out of the 99% that got away with it, you know, with the statistics.
Yeah. Yep.
How are you, Carolyn?
Yeah, so basically, I felt like, I don't know, the way that they explained it and the way that they actually went over it, they were talking about how, like, sample sizes, so they were saying that they can't actually, it was basically, like, how the sample sizes and they, like, the salary
mm-hmm.
increments and, mm-hmm. like, the built-in bias around statistics and how
mm-hmm.
at that time they already had so many people with telephones, but it was only, like, the rich and, like, very strict amount of people that had that, and that's what their sample sizes were from.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they didn't even mean to have a sample size that way,
mm-hmm.
Like, did anyway, and it was already created bias.
The book itself I like because they do a good job of also making it interesting
mm-hmm.
and kind of funny sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's good.
I like the little character drawings.
The illustrations are very in-depth and realistic.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely describes the book more. And it helps.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing that got me the most was that in the book it talks about how often say that the average, or the word average is misused,
mm-hmm.
Because in the book they talk about how average can be many things, such as like the average can mean for the mean and mode can be two different averages, so that right there kind of
mm-hmm.
fluctuates between meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson, do you have
anything to say? No, yeah, that makes sense. Like, how the mode can be totally different than the average, which happens a lot. And the same thing with the median. The median can be pretty different from the mean, the average. So,
yeah.
A lot of the time when you just have, like, the mode, they're using the mode as, like, most people have X. And and you're, like, implying that that's, like, the average case. And that's just the mode. And that can be very different from the actual, like, the statistical average, which is a kind of interesting thing, how, like, in, like, ads and stuff, like, they just decide which, like, measure of center is the best for what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they went through the average phase of that, and I liked an illustration for it, because they were trying to figure out that, even with that, sometimes they don't fully get the average because there's so many different people that it's hard to get an average for it. And that's what I saw in chapter 2 or 3. Yeah, it was 2. Chapter 2.
Yeah. Alright.
Okay, this is podcast number 2.
Yep. Sans Carolyn.
This is Alejandro and Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about chapter 4 through 6.
Yep.
And something that I wanted to say about was in chapter 4 was very interesting because It talked about how if you were to take an IQ test, you wouldn't really take an accurate. It would be, it wouldn't. It really wouldn't be really accurate due to the fact that it's the way it's, it calculates measurements or it measures intelligence. It's not as accurate as it thought to be. For example, if I were to get 103, or it could be off by 3 or more or less. So in reality, it could either be 100. I could actually get 100 or 106, and it also doesn't measure things such as creativity, and leadership.
Yeah.
So pretty much, it just talks about the IQ test is pretty much a test for problems, but that generally do not rely on everyday problems.
Yeah, it's kind of like a how good are you at logic kind of thing. Like, it's not exactly like intelligence, but it also talks. It's kind of similar to like the SATs kind of. Not SATs. Is it the SAT? Yeah.
Yeah.
I get SATs either mixed up with student teachers, but because there's the same acronym. But SATs are kind of similar to that. It's not as much about logic, but just about having knowledge. Mm. But they measure like two different kinds of intelligence, but neither of them really are like a overreaching definition of intelligence. Like what Hunter was saying, like the IQ test and the SAT both like don't really measure creativity and that kind of thing, so it's pretty limited. And IQ tests are kind of like dumb anyway, because like people take them to be like the word of God. Like I'm a genius because I got a 160, and they go to Mensa, and they just it's like an echo chamber at Mensa. Like, oh, we're all so smart. It's like that kind of thing. The IQ test just like creates problems like that too. So there's like a lot of problems with the IQ test.
To add on to that, chapter 6 also talked about how the mean of many things isn't really the mean, because it's never really accurate. Yeah. Since it talked about how ripping off ears, and if you have a pile of ears by yourself, then you would see like an average of those ears. But in order to find an exact ear, you would need to see different piles of ears and compare everything and similarities. And in order for you to have an average of one thing, you actually can't have it, because you know ears are all different.
Yeah.
So there's no really average for that. And for me, chapter 5, it wasn't really informational. It was just mumbling about many information that was sort of unrelated to both chapter 4 and 6. So it was kind of like a filler. And yeah, that was pretty much what I got from those three chapters.
Yeah, something that I've even thought about before this with like the averages thing is that when there are things that have like multiple different qualities, and you say like for example the average face, like there's like different kinds of noses and different kinds of ears and different kinds of eyes and like all those different kinds of things. So really, it's kind of like the average face doesn't really give you like the average face, I guess, because it's not about like what's most like the most common kind of face. Is because like if you it's like like there could be, say, the average person is black but has blue eyes, because this is just like I'm making this up, but say because there's most people have blue eyes overall, but then there are more people who are black than white people. So that's because there's like I'm just making this up, but say there's like a ton of white people with blue eyes, and that causes blue eyes to be more than everything else, and it makes it so like the average eye is like blue. But then so basically like then the average face wouldn't really be the average face, because it's not like a common combination. So
really taking averages of things with multiple different qualities and averaging all those qualities and saying it's the average overall set, I guess, just there's a lot of problems with that. So it's kind of, it's like, it's easy to say, oh, we took everyone, like every person from Japan's face and we averaged them out and now we have the average face of someone from Japan. And like, that does have its like benefits, like there are some things that you can see from that, but you can't take it as like the hard truth because it doesn't really apply to everything.
Alright, that was it for our podcast. Do you have anything to add on?
I don't.
Alright, thank you. Yep. See you next week.
Alright, so it's recording.
Alright, this is podcast number 3. I'm Alejandro.
I'm Wilson.
And our third peer, Carolyn, is not here.
Mm-hmm. Is this the third podcast or the fourth? Is the third one?
Third.
Yeah, alright.
This Friday will be the fourth.
Okay.
So today we are talking, we're going to talk about chapter 7 through 9. Mm-hmm. And what pretty much I got understood from chapter 7 was the beginning stages of lying with the statistics. For example, if you were trying to sell a cosmetic or a new pill, mm-hmm. That treats colds. They were talking about how you can pretty much lie about it and not show all the information that you have. For example, you can have this study of this new chemical that can kill about, let's say, 13,000 germs and that causes the cold. But you don't really, nobody really knows like how any common cold is caused. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have to tell which germs could be. Like, it could be any germ, and pretty much just sell it as a statistic. And as well as you don't really need to like have like a real doctor as well with your information as well. Like, you can just have a model and just put like a lab coat on, and you'll get away with it. As well as another study that they did, which was, they were asking people about if you were white, do you have a higher percentage or a higher chance of getting a job compared to a black or African American person. And many of the poll voters agreed that if you were white, you were had a better chance. And one of the background question was that that they didn't let the voters know where that if you were to say yes or like according to the way that you reacted to it, it will let the interviewer know that you could also be more leaning towards the racist or like against the blacks getting a job. And it was very interesting because pretty much like this statistics can tell you about a person, and also it can kind of screw you over because you can lie about like what new pill can kill germs, and mm-hmm. that's really confusing because you don't really like, you don't even have to get a doctor for it. Like, you can just get a model and just put like a picture like next to it and like, oh, like now it looks legitimately, and you know.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. With chapter 8, it was a lot like what we kind of recently talked about in statistics, where it was like the correlation versus causation thing,
mm-hmm.
where it talked a lot about like underlying variables. Like, I don't remember the exact examples, but like, I think one of them was smoking cigarettes and having bad grades,
mm-hmm.
and like there was an obvious correlation between them, but it's more likely that there was a third variable underneath that, like, it's not because people smoke that they get bad grades, or because they get bad grades they smoke. It's probably just like the kind of person they are, where they, it just tends that the kind of person they are would have both.
Mm.
Or, like, just like things like that, and it's kind of interesting, like looking at that and seeing how, like, with the code example, like, not all of the bacteria that it kills, a lot of them are like correlated with killing colds, but they're not known to cause it, so they can just lie about all of these things, or these things cause colds, or these things are related to colds, and really they don't know, but it's just, that's what the correlation looks like, and there's probably like underlying variable, like having those bacteria weaken your immune system more to the cold virus, or something like that. So there's a lot of like underlying variables like that. And then in chapter 9, like, it was interesting, like, seeing how, like, they used a lot of different, like, methods. There are a lot of different methods to try and, like, show the same information, but in a way that kind of skews how the person will look at it. Like, the one example that I thought was the coolest was, the map. Where basically, it was like, it used like the sum of the incomes from a certain number of states as equating to like a value or whatever. And it was like, so this many states is how much they're removing from the budget or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they used states with really big areas and with smaller amounts of like average salaries, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think it was what it was. So what that did was, it made it look like they're taking up like half the states, but they could have used the same example and used, say, like, states in New England, and they would only use, like, a couple states, and it would have been a lot more compact, and it would have looked like only, like, 1/12 of the United States. Mm-hmm. So, it's really, there's just a lot of easy ways to like, hide the truth, kind of, and to skew what it looks like to people. And there's, like, I remember this in talking about this, I think it was last year in Camel's class, where, like, another example was, like, using, say, like, kind of like making a bar graph of things, but using, like, an image instead of bars. But instead of just making the image larger height-wise, they just scaled the image completely. So, say, like, something is, like, twice as much as something else. Like, say, like, the first bar is, like, 1, and the second bar is 2. And they use, like, pictures of trees. The first bar will have, like, the tree. But then the second one will have a tree that's twice as high. But the thing is, when you scale something up equally, it's also twice as wide. Mm-hmm. So really, the volume of the image, the area of the image, is 4 times as much. Mm-hmm. So people look at it, and it looks like it's 4 times as much, but it's only twice as much. Mm-hmm. So it just totally skews it. And there's like a lot of different examples of that. It's kind of interesting how many different ways there are of doing that.
Alright, well, I think that's it for today.
Alright.
Yeah. Unless you have anything to say.
I don't have anything.
Carolyn doesn't have anything to say.
Yep, apparently not.
Alright, that's our podcast for today.
Yep. Alright, so this is the fourth and the last
podcast.
For chapter the book.
10. Yeah.
Chapter 10.
How to lie with
with statistics.
Yeah.
We thought there were more chapters after this one, but we were wrong. Yeah. So.
We were really, really disappointed.
Chapter 10, how to talk back to a statistic.
Okay.
So it's kind of about how to, with the stuff that you learned, it's kind of like a conclusion to the book, like the stuff that you learned with the rest of the book, how to, like, use the information that you now know about statistics and how to read the statistics and interpret them with the information. So it kind of talked about a lot of the same stuff that other chapters talked about, like correlation versus causation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like gave you tips on how to interpret stuff with that information. I guess it just would be the same thing, but whatever.
Yeah. So, in chapter 10, pretty much went back to some of the stuff we talked about before. And, like, for example, the average is never the average.
Yeah.
Like, the word average doesn't really qualify
for its actual measurement.
Yeah.
What else? They talked about. Something really interesting. Oh yeah, this chapter is also filled with like funny pictures that are totally not related to the.
No, they're related.
Somewhat, they are.
Yeah, you didn't understand. When we're talking about the doctor, the OK name, which the OK name is a lot of studies. It didn't talk about this until now.
Yeah.
So not everything was stuff from earlier in the book, but the OK names in.
Like, if you were from a prestigious university,
you like Cornell. You can say that.
Yeah, you can use your
university. Even if the university is not actually connected.
Yeah, or, like, you have no affiliation with your university.
Yeah.
You can just be like,
These are just names that make it sound better.
Yeah, so people don't really have to, doubt where they got the information.
Yeah.
Like, even though it could be, like, any absurd information, but it could be like, oh, Cornell found out that people who own dogs are more likely to murder someone.
But really, it's not Cornell, it's someone from Cornell.
Yeah, or someone who has, like, barely any affiliation with Cornell.
Yeah.
And that's how some studies get away or through in the statistics.
Yeah.
What else? Sometimes companies get away with this. And
a lot of times.
Yeah. And again, as it was stated before, in statistics, sometimes people leave stuff behind, like that it could be very significant.
Yeah.
But sometimes for the well-being of the project or research, it could be taken out without the reader, that could be us.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
It talks about a lot, also something that we talked about before in statistics class, about the number of cases really mattering. Like, something might only actually take into account, like, 3 people, and it might be, say, like, average lifetimes of people. I don't know, I'm just making this up. And then 2 of them live to, like, 70 and 75, and then 1 of them died when they were, like, 21. So it'll be like, on average, people live to be 50 years old. But, like, really, it's not a representative sample because it's only 3 people. And that happens a lot. Not that exaggerated, but there's a lot of examples of studies where they use only a tiny amount of people and it doesn't really give balanced results. It's kind of biased. It talked a lot about bias in this chapter, too. There was talk, like, one of the interesting examples was that some company called up, like, corporations and asked them whether they were lying about how much they made, whether they're, like, fudging their numbers. And, of course, companies are going to want to say no. But out of, like, the 100 that they contacted, only 16 responded. So, and, out of the 16, like, 10 said they didn't lie about the numbers, and 6 said they did. So that could mean that you could take that data and say, oh, it looks like most companies don't lie about their numbers. But the thing is, of the 84 that did not answer, it probably biased the results towards not lying, because a lot of companies that were like, oh, we did fudge the numbers, probably were like, oh, I don't want to answer this thing, though, because that'll look bad if people knew that we're lying about the numbers. So they would just not answer the quiz. And then some people might have lied about the answers. So really, it's just companies don't want to say that they lied about their numbers, so they won't say that they lied about their numbers. So that's one source of the bias, is when stuff like that is, like, self-reported. And there are a lot of examples of stuff like that in this chapter, which was, some of it was just repeated stuff, not repeated examples, but, like, the same sorts of stuff as was talked about in previous chapters. But this chapter kind of showed that stuff, but also told you, it kind of also just gave you towards, like, the perspective of you interpreting these things and what they might mean. So this chapter is not as much how to lie with statistics, but how to know when someone's lying about the statistics, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what this chapter ends up being about.
All right. How are you, Carolyn?
Yeah, what do you think, Carolyn?
All right, I agree with that. She's not here, by the way. She's yeah. with us in our hearts.
In our hearts, our minds, our souls, yeah. and our spirit.
She hasn't been here since Wednesday, and we really, really miss her.
She's never come to school again.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see her again.
Sorry, Mr. Miles, I know you're listening to this.
Yep. All right.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Which is a little bit annoyed.
But it is what it is, I guess.
It is what it is.
And overall, I think about the book itself, I really enjoyed reading it. There were some points that it didn't make some sense, but it also the majority of the book made sense. I wish we didn't have to read this while we had to read another book, while we had to work on a benchmark.
Yeah, it wasn't that much effort for reading the book.
Yeah,
some people are harder with reading.
Yeah,
stuff.
But not everyone reads at the same pace. So
yeah, I read pretty quickly. But so the book was interesting. I had no idea that this book was from 1954.
I kind of knew that it was from around that time because of the use of the word Negro.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Every book that has the word, kind of, you can tell it's from before that era.
I didn't notice that, but I should have noticed that. But I thought it was more recent than that, just because, I don't know. I mean, the drawings look kind of old, but at the same time, they look like they could have been done recently, just in a cartoony style.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was surprising me that it was that old. It's kind of interesting how the way it all works is still the same, and how they still lie with statistics like the same way in like a ton of things. So it's just interesting how so little has changed, because it doesn't have to change, I guess, because it works. Lying with statistics works.
Mm-hmm.
And also how universal this book has become. Like, it's a very well-known book, and obviously people are still reading it and teaching it today, 62 years after it came out, so that's pretty crazy.
I'm surprised the book was the only 10 chapters long, though.
Yeah, it's a short book.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's targeted towards, like regular people just wanted to understand it. So I understand why it didn't really go in depth. But I think it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of a movie we were watching in Mr. Bear's class, The Big Short.
Oh, yeah.
Where it kind of simplifies down a lot of the stuff for regular people to watch. But at the same time, it doesn't simplify it to the point where it gives you the wrong impression, or like, it doesn't oversimplify things. It just simplifies things. And so I think it did pretty well with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave a lot of examples of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say, like, at least half the paragraphs in the book were just examples
mm-hmm.
of things being talked about in other paragraphs,
mm-hmm.
which was actually pretty useful, because it really, like, gives you real examples to be like, oh, I remember something like that happening before. And you can make parallels to things that you've personally seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it a lot more understandable doing that too. And also the pictures do help make it make it more understandable too, because they can be examples of things
mm-hmm.
like that'll help make you understand. But it's also a lot of
just drawings that illustrate some things in a funny way, which is, it's pretty interesting because the, it helps you understand and also makes a really boring subject kind of interesting. Like, oh, that's funny. This person is laying in bed with the clock or whatever. Like, I mean, that was a bad example, but like, it's just like stuff like that. It's a good way to teach about this stuff, making it entertaining and making it simple for people who aren't really as informed about this stuff. Uh-huh. To help them understand.
How about you, Carolyn? All right. Yep. So
that was really deep.
That was really had a lot of meaning.
You completely altered my understanding of this book.
Yeah. I like.
You just blew my mind.
That just made me realize that I have missed a lot of the book.
Oh man.
And a lot of base as well. Overall. I think it's funny that we are learning this just as we're about to go to college, because this made me think of a funny thought that if we were to change or go into business, we could just, you know, go to any kind of business and, like, know how to lie with our statistics and kind of get away with it, unless...
Well, I mean, a lot of people, like, because of books like this, a lot of people kind of
are informed,
can see through
but,
that.
Yeah, but there's always, like, people who are not informed, like, you know, people who fall for, like, pyramid schemes and, like, Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, this book is very applicable to real life.
Yeah, but, like, I get the feeling, like, see, like, I didn't know some facts about... this book that told me, actually, which were, like, the OK names.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Feeling about it. Like, I didn't know about it, but I also had a feeling about it. Like,
yeah, I kind of knew about that, but I didn't know it was, like, a thing.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. Like, that, like, it wasn't, yeah. Like,
I didn't know it had, like, a name.
Yeah. Like, because I realized, like, there were studies before, like, where, like, Harvard University has done this study. I'm like, oh, cool. And then you're like, think about it. And like, okay, this must be legit because it's like a legit school.
Then it's also like, wait a second, all 7,000 people who go to Harvard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you're like, wait a minute. Like, you're like, what a minute. Like, everyone did the same study.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not what it means.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It kind of like, you have to think about it and be like, oh, wait, maybe it's just one guy who's at Harvard because his rich parents could pay for it. And, oh, look, he decided to make a survey because why not? And, oh, look, it's a really crappy methodology study. But, hey, he goes to Harvard, so...
Yeah, so he must...
So he's going to just put Harvard on the name and be like, hey, I'm from Harvard. Look at my really cool study. And, like, oh, wait, no, it's a stupid study. Like, oh, eating French fries causes... like brain cancer.
Because correlation with causation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like stuff like that, and it's just that happens.
Miss
Wells,
we should get some extra points for that.
But yeah, so it's just a lot of the stuff I already knew about, but a lot of the stuff was stuff I didn't really know all that much about, and it's just it's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
How it's also very interesting how so little has changed in the past 62 years when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
This movie came out, I mean, this book, this not movie. Book. They're never making a movie out of this. Well, Freakonomics kind of did. But this movie came out, I mean, I said this movie again. this book came out as long ago as when this book came out, it was like 1892. Mm. And then, that's a long time. So... Yeah, so, yeah, I guess that kind of concludes. That concludes these podcasts.
these podcasts.
Well, I guess.
Well, I mean, in general, all of them.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, all four of them. It's like this is the last one.
Yeah.
And it's good to have Carolyn around for one quarter of them.
Yeah.
And
she gave us our deep thoughts and.
Yeah.
Life-changing
advice. Thanks for being with us, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome, yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. So, yeah. See you later.
All right. This was
Alejandro,
Wilson, and Carolyn in our hearts. Thank you, Mr. Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Miles. See you on Monday.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
Let's go. Do you have a dollar I can borrow?
Yeah.